This is Murphy Martin, ABC News, speaking from the chambers of the House of Representatives at the state capitol in Montgomery, Alabama, where Governor George C. Wallace is about to address a joint session of the Alabama legislature. His subject, a federal decree handed down here in Montgomery yesterday by District Judge Frank M. Johnson, granting permission for civil rights workers to stage a 50-mile protest march from Selma, Alabama, to Montgomery, Alabama. The governor, just at this moment, entering the chambers, escorted to the speaker's platform by a special committee made up of both state representatives and state senators. Lieutenant Governor James Allen, now shaking hands with the governor, also the Speaker of the House, Albert Brewer, and now to the speaker's rostrum and Alabama Governor George C. Wallace. James Allen speaking.
Senate and of the House of the Alabama Legislature, by joint resolution of the two houses, we have invited the governor of Alabama to appear before us for the purpose of discussing
Lieutenant Governor James Allen, some 8 feet behind Governor George Wallace, making the introduction on the public address system microphone only here, and now introducing Governor
of Alabama,
George C. Wallace.
Governor Allen, Mr. Speaker, Senator Matthews, and members of the joint session of the legislature of Alabama assembled, we see a most unprecedented order. Unprecedented in the annals of American history, having been rendered by a federal court here in Montgomery, Alabama. We stopped the so-called march from Selma to Montgomery, Alabama, because we understood ourselves at that time what a colossal undertaking it would be to provide safety and security, not only for the marchers, but the vehicular traffic and the other citizens of this state and nation who customarily use that highway. To show you that we understood when others did not, and evidently the federal courts do not, I have a telegram in my hand from one of the leaders of the march that says that we expect you to meet health and safety needs of 5,000 marchers. This telegram addressed to me, the governor of Alabama. To meet health and safety needs of 5,000 marchers Sunday the 21st of March over 12 miles of U.S. Highway 80, of 300 marchers Monday the 22nd, Tuesday the 23rd, and Wednesday the 24th, and Thursday, March the 25th on the same highway to Montgomery, of 5,000 to 10,000 demonstrators who need some facilities within Montgomery, Thursday, 25th on the final 4 miles of state capital. State responsibility can be met adequately by providing the following minimum needs: 6 equipped ambulances, 2 mobile aid stations, 9 300-gallon water trailers, portable toilet facilities, 2 rubbish disposal trucks and containers, mobile radio communications for coordination, adequate medical personnel, physicians, nurses, and aidmen, state control, protection, and coordination of all above medical and public health activities. The original sent to Governor Wallace, copies to Jose Williams, SCLC, Auburn Avenue, Atlanta, Randolph, Blackwell, Southern Conference Leadership Union, Auburn Avenue, Atlanta, Colonel Albert Lingo, Executive Officers of the Alabama State Trooper, State Capitol, Montgomery, Alabama, Dr. Fred Solomon, College of Medicine, Howard University, Washington, D.C., signed Aaron O. Wells, MD, Medical Committee for Human Rights, Jose Williams, Coordinator of March on Montgomery, Southern Christian Leadership Conference. Great and dedicated men of the past worked diligently and honestly to establish the integrity, and the justice of our court system. From their work has come a faith by the people in the courts and a dignity and respect accorded to the courts that has been the rock upon which our house of freedom has rested. And of course, that integrity and faith has been shaken in the last number of years. Now, they say our courts are too slow. We must therefore submit to the speedy expediencies of mob rule. That a federal judge concurs and prostitutes our law in favor of that mob rule, while hypocritically wearing the robes and clothed in the respect built by great and honest men, is a tragedy and sorrow beyond any words. Here are a few examples of what Judge Johnson embraces as peaceful demonstrations. These demonstrations, wielding knives, have slashed the clothing of law enforcement officers. They have thrown bricks and bottles at law enforcement officers and at passing automobiles, including a car driven by a member of the legislature. They have smashed windows, have invaded courtrooms in Perry and Dallas County. They have laid down in the streets, refusing to let even ambulance pass through. They have invaded the front yards and front porches of private homes and refused to move. They have been granted the right to deny the use of public streets and sidewalks to other citizens to the exclusive use of demonstrators. They are mobs employing the street warfare tactics of the communists, and it is upon these people and upon their anarchy that a federal judge providing over a mock court places a stamp of approval as their rights. And now that federal judge compounds the anarchy by ordering the state of Alabama to protect the street army on its march from Selma. Perhaps it would be well to see what plans were necessary for a one-day demonstration in Washington. Official sources tell us what the federal government did to keep the Washington march peaceful. Under military planning, directed by Lieutenant Colonel John Downey, 4,000 combat troops, including one Marine battalion, were stationed in Washington and maintained on an alert status. In addition to these groups, the Army provided an additional 2,500 combat battalion troops, which were held available at Army posts on the outskirts of Washington. 26 teams of 2 to 4 men, a team, were assigned to select areas in Washington for the purpose of observing and reporting any disorder. All leave for members of the police department were canceled for the week of August 25th in order that the force would be at its full strength of 2,900 men. In addition, 500 civilian reserves were on duty in outlying precincts to preserve the peace around the perimeter of the district. In fact, without going into any more details, it took nearly 30,000 people to provide a peaceful march of one day in Washington, and it cost out of pocket $805,000 for the one day in Washington. We have reliable information that over 200 nationally known entertainers are coming into this state for this demonstration. The call has gone out from the demonstration leaders for every left-wing, pro-communist fellow traveler and communist in the country to be here, and we know that we can expect them along with the usual number of dupes and poor, misguided individuals. Any reasonable person can see that this well-planned, well-financed assault is going to be much more difficult to control than was the one-day march on Washington. May I remind you again that we have practically all the same groups behind the Alabama demonstrations who planned and instigated the Washington march. If this financial burden were imposed upon the state, the money would be taken from monies which otherwise would be used for the care of our sick and infirm, both white and Negro, which would provide for the care of tuberculosis patients, both white and Negro, which provide for our program for AIDS-dependent children, the majority of whom are Negroes, and many other people of our state whose care and comfort and health depend on such funds. It would cost an estimated $350,000 to $400,000 of state funds to handle this march completely by ourselves in this state. We have 600 state troopers today that have been taken away from protecting the other people of our state in order to protect demonstrators and to police the areas in which they happen to be located. I am sure that if the facts were known, There are a number of Alabamians who have met their deaths on the highways because of the lack of protection in the last number of weeks, either from drunken driving or careless drivers, which would have been taken off the highway had the law enforcement officials been carrying on their normal duties. We see today a foreign philosophy that says to the people, you need not bother to work and meet qualifications of a free man. All you must do is demonstrate and cause chaos and create a situation whereby our propagandists, masquerading as newsmen, may destroy faith in local law enforcement and may and may impugn the decency of local law enforcement so that we may take all police powers unto the central government. That is the ominous price that the irresponsible demonstrators pay. Many of them communist trained to bring about such a development. Such a development is taking place. And sadly, the Negroes used as tools in this traditional type of communist street warfare have no conception of the misery and slavery they are bringing to their children. Before the Civil Rights Act was passed by Congress, Mr. Kennedy said, Mr. Robert Kennedy, if we can just pass this act, it will take the issues out of the streets and put them in the courts. I said then that it could do no such thing, for the issue is but a single, clearly defined issue, preservation or destruction of the United States of America. There shall be no end to street chaos, only temporary respites while the collectivist press builds up another phony issue by which the trained demonstrators may again take to the streets in righteous disorder. I say to you tonight that the street warfare and demonstrations that once plagued Czechoslovakia, that ripped Cuba apart, that destroyed Diem in Vietnam, that raped China, that has torn civilization and established institutions of this world into bloody shreds, now courses through the streets of America, rips asunder the town of Selma, and laps at the doorstep of every American, black and white. I am the governor of this state, elected by you, the people. I have fought for you, and I have spoken across this land for you, and have kept faith with you. And tonight I should like to offer words that are something more than words of alarm. Not that I have anything against proper alarm, for were it not for the alarm sounded by Patrick Henry, we might not tonight be products of a free people. Tonight I should like to ask you, the people of Alabama, for restraint. I am asking you to stay away from the points of tension, if at all possible. I do not ask you for cowardice, but I ask you for restraint in the same tradition that our outnumbered forefathers followed. I asked you not to play into the hands of the enemies of our nation and our freedom. I asked you to hold firmly, and I asked you to exercise that superior discipline that is yours. I asked you to do, if you will, the same that you did when I stood at Tuscaloosa, Alabama, to stay home and let's have peace. Outside the door of my office, there stands a monument, and on it these words are written, Fame's temple boasts no higher name, no king in grandeur on his throne, no glory shines with brighter gleam. The name of patriot stands alone. I ask you tonight for patriotism in its finest hour and its highest duty, and I ask you to restrain yourself. And I hope that at the time this march takes place, that you will stay at your workbench, that you will stay at your home, and that you will let this matter be handled by those who are in authority. Our security forces have today told us, after thorough study, what it will take to police this march. For maximum security on a 50-mile road when there was only 10 miles to secure in Washington during that march, it will take 2,057 personnel on a 24-hour ship, 163 cars and 15 buses. It will take 4,114 men on a 12-hour ship, and a like increase in the number of vehicles on an 8-hour shift for maximum security, It will take 6,171 law enforcement personnel. For limited security, it will take on a 24-hour shift 772 personnel, on a 12-hour shift 1,544, and on an 8-hour shift 2,316. The other day, the leader of the demonstration said in open court and in an open federal court that I will not obey an unjust order. He said the order issued to me by the federal court was unjust, and I do not have to obey an unjust order. I say that this order is unjust. I say that many orders of federal courts that have been issued are unjust. But whether they are unjust or not, if anarchy is not to prevail, we must obey, even though it be galling. Even though it provokes our very insides, we still must obey an order of a court when it becomes a final order. So we will obey. We will do our duty. We will not abdicate our responsibility to provide protection in as best we can, because that is the duty of your governor and the state. I said on national television that we would obey court orders, even though those who lead the demonstration say they will decide whether the order is just or unjust. In view of the circumstances outlined to you, and with awareness of the serious nature of this insensible burden placed on the state of Alabama, I intend to call on the President of the United States to provide sufficient civil authorities or officers to provide for the safety for the safety and welfare of citizens in and along the route of the proposed march, and to provide for the safety and welfare of the so-called demonstrators. I hope the legislature of this state will approve. The federal courts have created this matter. They can help to handle the same. And I hope... Let you and me, the people of Alabama, see that this march is peaceful. Let's do show the people of this nation of our superior discipline in times of stress. And then when this march has been concluded peacefully, I shall ask along with you that those in authority who have influence upon these to ask for a cessation and a stopping of these continuous demonstrations, and let the courts of this land decide the issues involved. And I say to you in conclusion tonight that my prayer is that God will bless all the people of this great and sovereign state, both white and black, and to say that our administration shall continue to try to provide a better life for all the citizens of this state, regardless of their race, color, creed, religion, or national origin. And I sincerely hope that the legislature of this state and the people of Alabama will stand with me in this crisis that we face here in Alabama. Thank you very much.
A standing ovation for Alabama Governor George C. Wallace. He turns to shake hands with the Speaker of the House, Albert Brewer, and Lieutenant Governor James Allen. Is about to now, while the throng here, made up primarily of legislators, their families, and state employees, and newsmen, are standing. The governor has not yet made his way. As a matter of fact, he has taken a seat just to the left of the rostrum, and apparently he may wait for this joint session of the legislature to take action on the recommendation he has just asked from them. Lieutenant Governor James Allen, at the microphone.
Members of the Senate and of the House and of all those assembled here tonight, I would like to commend you on this stirring address and say that you have electrified the nation on more than one occasion, as you have carried to the people of this nation the Alabama story and the Alabama problems and our solution of those problems. And certainly, I join with you in your sense of outrage at this court order that would force on the people of Alabama this legalized, unruly mob. And it certainly makes us wonder if we are to undergo in Alabama and the South another tragic era, another period of Reconstruction. Governor, we would like for you to remain in the chamber and to witness the further deliberations of this joint session. Is there any further business to come
Mr. President?
To this joint session? Mr. Speaker, Albert Brewer.
Mr. President, it's extremely unusual that any business come before a joint session of a legislature other than the purpose for which it was called. But these are unusual circumstances and unusual times, and tonight I should like to offer to the joint session of this legislature a resolution for consideration. May I read the resolution, Mr. President?
Go ahead, Mr. Speaker.
Whereas a federal court order has been made allowing a so-called march from Selma, Alabama to Montgomery, Alabama, and whereas such a march is not only asinine and ridiculous, but is highly dangerous and detrimental to the safety of those who plan to participate in such a march, and whereas such a march will only create traffic hazards, but will impede the orderly flow of commerce through the state of Alabama, and will disrupt traffic and business within the cities of Montgomery, Selma, and Hainesville, Alabama, and whereas any such march or demonstration at or near the Capitol will impede and hinder the legislature of the state of Alabama in the orderly process of its business, and whereas the law enforcement agencies of the state and municipalities affected will be sorely taxed to afford adequate police protection for the so-called marchers and demonstrators, and law enforcement officials may be unable to protect themselves against possible attacks from said marchers and demonstrators, and whereas it has been necessary during the recent days to use the full capacities of the law enforcement agencies of the state in the affected areas almost exclusively for the purpose of policing the so-called marchers and demonstrators to the detriment of other areas of law enforcement, and the law enforcement agencies have been almost completely immobilized, and whereas a number of the demonstrators have thrown objects and missiles at police officers in Montgomery, Alabama, and have injured the police chief and one other police officer of Montgomery, Alabama, and have broken the windshield and damaged the automobile a member of this legislature was driving, and the sheriff of Montgomery County was attacked by demonstrators in Montgomery County, and whereas the demonstrators are adversely affecting the free and unobstructed flow of interstate and intrastate commerce, in that travel on the streets and highways is hindered and impeded, an emergency vehicle and ambulance has been blocked, tourist travel of residents and non-residents has been impeded, trade at business houses suffers, and whereas it is impossible because of the limited numbers of police officers to guarantee that the marchers or demonstrators will not suffer injury if they insist on continued and constant acts of provocation, now therefore, be it resolved by the legislature of Alabama that the Honorable George C. Wallace, Governor of Alabama, is commended for the manner in which he has handled the affairs of the state during this crisis.
There is little doubt that the resolution just presented by Speaker of the House, Albert Brewer, will be passed by this joint session. The special ABC report covering a joint session of the Alabama legislature has originated in the chambers of the House of Representatives.
And this legislature does stand with him in deploring the asinine and ridiculous...
I'm Murphy Martin. Good evening.
On the line with Considine weekdays on the ABC Radio Network.